You could turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. I actually also say Ephesians. And this is our theme verse. Galatians, Ephesians 6. And I'm going to read it in the 2022 version. It says, "Finally, my brothers and sisters and all other types of people, be strong in yourself and follow your heart, because only you know who you are." Isn't that nice and empowering, and it makes you feel really good inside? No. I mean, it kind of does, but it's not true, right? So we want to focus on the truth. My wife, my beautiful wife, she said something like, we want the truth even if we have to change our lives for it. So if your opinions don't agree with the truth, then we still want to change our lives so that we now agree with truth. I thought that's pretty awesome. You ever notice that many times what man thinks is the exact opposite of what God thinks? Or what man promotes is the opposite of what God promotes? Or his solution is the opposite of God's solution? It's kind of interesting, right? Man's way is follow your heart. We know from the word that you're not going to end up in a good place if you follow your heart. Let's see. So is following your heart right? I mean, what other things are promoted today? You could shout them out because I honestly don't know. I'm off of social media. I used to get all my information from Twitter and I no longer have that. So what other things are promoted today?
Self-care.
Accept everyone. What was it?
Self-care.
Self-care. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Canceling
people. How does that work? Do what feels good. Speaking your truth. That's a great one. Speaking your truth. What was that?
Gay pride.
All kinds of stuff, right? So man comes up with all kinds of different things. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's see what God thinks. Jeremiah chapter 10. There's Psalms, and you keep going, and at some point you hit Jeremiah chapter 10. So man has all these ways, these new ways that you should think and promote and yell at everyone to think this way. But here's what God says. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." It's not even in man to direct his steps. He can't do it. So whatever man comes up with, whatever, you know, the current times, 2022 comes up with, now you should be thinking this way, it's probably going to be wrong. It's probably not going to agree with the truth, right? So we can't really direct our own steps. We need the word. And if there was one person, one man that could direct his steps, it would probably be the one perfect man. And who is that?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Let's see what Jesus Christ says. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. So it's not even in man to direct his steps. But if one man could do it, it would be Jesus Christ. And in John 5:30... it's an interesting verse. It says, "I can," this is Jesus Christ talking, "I can of my own self do nothing." So even Jesus Christ says, "I can of my own self do nothing," which means we're kind of out of luck. And if Jesus Christ was God, then we're really not in a good situation. But he's not, so that's good. So "I can of my own self do nothing." And that means that we really can't do anything of ourselves either. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you. Go get a snack. No, right? There's good news. We have the word to direct our steps, which is really great. And so when we realize that we're weak, that we don't have all the answers, that we're not really the smartest in the whole universe, God can really work with that. And God really enjoys working with that. God likes to work with weak people. It's kind of a theme throughout the word. God works with what the world would consider weak people, insignificant people, to make really awesome things happen. I mean, you look at Jesus Christ, he wasn't a rich man, right? He just grew up in a town. He was a carpenter. He was just a guy. But God worked with him, and, you know, he affected the world more than anyone ever will, right? Combined. So God likes to work with weak people. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we're only weak, you know, fleshly, right? And if you look at me, I'm really not that strong. Sorry to tell you. Andres is getting there. But I'm not really that strong physically. But spiritually, we can be strong. You know, I don't have to work out to be strong spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, did I get there? Yeah. It says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And this is the cool part. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Look around for a second. Do you see any people that are just really, really strong, mighty men besides Andres? You see anyone that's just super smart, has like 10 PhDs and stuff? No, right? And not many noble, like none of us are presidents and stuff. But what's really cool is that we have really great big power. We're the most powerful people in the world. Isn't that interesting? Looking around, isn't that interesting? Thinking about that? That's the truth. That's actually the truth. You know, where Hannah was talking about the truth and focusing on the truth. That actually is what the truth is. And that's crazy to think about, but that's true. You know, Caleb right there, sitting there, most powerful man in the world, you know? He has all the power of God and Christ in him. You know, and that's what the truth is. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Did you know that the greatest power that humans have ever witnessed, which was the power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and never to die again, that power is the same power that's in you? That's kind of crazy to think about. You know, think about yourself individually. You know who you are. You know your weaknesses and your strengths and stuff. The greatest power that humans have ever witnessed is the power that's in you. And I didn't make that up, actually. It says that in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. We read it last night. It says, Ephesians 1, 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Right there. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, never to die again. That's not something that people can do. That's not something that science has ever done and will ever do. Jesus Christ will never die again. We don't have the technology to make that happen. That same power, God's power that made that happen, is the same power that's in you, individually in you. And that's amazing. That's what the truth is. Now, it's kind of hard to believe. You know, since Hannah did a demonstration, I'll do a demonstration too. So, me, I'm 5'8", roughly. 5'8", 145 pounds around. Stand up here so you can see all of my glory. I don't have a lot going on, honestly. I used to work out a little bit. I lost all the muscle that I gained. Nothing. So I'm 5'8", 145 pounds or whatever. In the world's perspective, I'm not much. I'm insignificant, right? But that's the flesh. That's worldly thinking. When I think the God in Christ in me, when I think being strong in the Lord, I'm righteous. I'm justified. I'm sanctified, meaning I'm set apart. I have God in Christ in me. All the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I have in me. I have the ability to operate all nine manifestations, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. I can know things that's impossible. I'm going to come up here because of the cars again. I can know things that are impossible for me to know by my five senses. And then there's faith, miracles, and healing. I can operate all those things because of the power that's in me. Me, like this, it's not much, right? But I have all the power that's God in Christ in me. And that's being strong in the Lord. And that's how we need to start thinking about ourselves. We go out witnessing a lot in fellow laborers. And when we used to go out, I used to think, if I was only 4 inches taller, then maybe people would listen to me. You know, I'm not that tall. 4 inches taller, that'd be great. Because then you can, you know, you're kind of looking down towards people. And you command a room a little bit more. I don't know. But then I thought, after, you know, I thought that for a while, and I was like, wait a second, that doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what I look like. It's God and Christ in me. God can work in me no matter what. And it's the same thing for you. I don't care if you're 2 years old or 200,000 years old, right? You can still witness. You can still do great things because it's God and Christ in you. And that's being strong in the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So even though we are, you know, we're just people, to the world we're kind of insignificant, but to God we're everything. We're the most powerful people. And the really awesome thing is that you right now sitting here, you have everything that you need. You have everything that you need to do what you need to do, to live a more than abundant life, to operate great power. You have everything that you need right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 4, we're going to read 4 through 6. It says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And that word sufficient means adequate power to get the job done. So of ourselves, we don't have adequate power to get the job done. But because of God, but our sufficiency is of God. Because of God, we have everything we need to get the job done. And that's how we should think about ourselves. You know, no longer think, I'm short or whatever. I'm too young, no one's going to listen to me, or I can't do much. We have everything that we need to get the job done right when we're born again. We're enabled. And that's amazing. You know, weak people like us, we can overcome any obstacle. We can stand in the face of adversity because we have Christ in us. Any one of you can, you know, and I can. And I want to look at a couple examples of someone that wasn't a perfect guy. You know, he had things about him that are kind of funny that we're going to look at. But he also was strong in the Lord. And so that guy is Peter. You can turn to Mark chapter 9. Looking at Peter is one of my favorite things because Peter was just a dude, you know, like, he's just a guy. And you have all the schools, St. Peter's and the churches and stuff. And it's really funny. If you actually know Peter and what he was like, he was just a guy. The same as us. You know, we do things that are not always right. Or we say stuff that's not the best thing to say sometimes. Or we mess up in front of everyone. And Peter was like this. And it's really funny. Mark chapter 9 and in verse 2. Where are we? Here we go. Okay. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them," this is a vision, "appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." And this is the funny part. "Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid." I think that's so funny. It's just like, Peter's here, he sees this crazy stuff happening, there's this vision, there's Elijah, and there's Moses, and Peter's like, it's good for us to be here, we should make 3 tabernacles, one for you, Jesus, and one for these 2 other guys. And he said that just because he didn't know what to say. He was afraid, he just didn't know what to say. That's Peter, that's, you know, St. Peter and everything. And that's like us, right? It's like sometimes we just say stuff because we don't know what to say or we're afraid and we say the wrong thing. Right, Shannon? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Go to Mark 9:31. I only said right, Shannon, because she was nodding her head. I didn't witness that. Mark 9:31. I do the same thing many times, like just now, right? Mark 9:31. So here's another one. I don't know that Peter was necessarily here for this one, but there's the disciples, and it says, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not what that saying, and they were afraid to ask him." I think that's great too. It's just like Jesus Christ, he says this deep stuff, and they didn't understand it, and they're too afraid to ask him what he's talking about. That's the people that Jesus Christ dealt with. That's the people that he gave power over unclean spirits. And in, you know, a few chapters before this, Mark 6, They heal many people. They cast out many devil spirits. It's these guys, these imperfect people, that, you know, they don't know what Jesus is talking about, and they're too afraid to ask him. And it's just, it's so funny. But these are the people that God can work with weak people that know they're weak, but that they have all the power of Christ in them. And that's us. That's how we should think about ourselves. It doesn't matter, you know, I make mistakes. It doesn't matter what I look like, but I can still operate manifestations perfectly. And that's what you can do too. Let's go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. So we need to change our thinking a little bit, I think, to think what the Word says about us rather than what the world says, or what we think the world says, maybe. Matthew 14. Here's another good one about Peter. Matthew 14:22, and it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, as we probably would too, if we saw someone walking on the sea at night towards us. But straightway, verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter's always the first one to stand up. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He had some balls, actually. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So that's pretty cool. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. This is Peter, right? He does something crazy, but then he gets afraid and starts to sink. He wasn't perfect. Peter wasn't perfect, but he could still operate some manifestations. We're going to see in Acts some stuff that he does. Let's see. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. You can go to Proverbs 3. And verse 5 and 6, probably familiar to a lot of you. So these guys, they were scared sometimes. Just like we're scared sometimes. They said the wrong things at times, just like we do. But it doesn't matter. You know, we can still be strong in the Lord. We can be strong in the Lord knowing that we're weak and that God can help us. And God loves to help people that are weak. He just loves to show himself strong. And he will for us. And if you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, or you're scared or something, ask God for help. Pray, you know, ask him to give you guidance or to take care of it or whatever. And this happens to me all the time at work. I'll, you know, be dealing with something and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take care of it at all. So at work, I don't know what to do sometimes. And I wish I can say that I immediately go to God and I pray, but usually I use my really smart mind and I try to figure stuff out, and I can't figure it out. And so every once in a while I'll be like, oh, right, I can pray, and then God will take care of it. Or I go downstairs and have lunch with Hannah and she'll be like, well, did you pray about it? And I'm like, oh, right, we can do that. And, you know, so often we'll pray together or I'll pray for it or something, and I go back to work and either I know what to do or the situation just completely resolves without me. And that's happened multiple times. It just, the problem completely goes away. I don't have to do anything. That's being strong in the Lord. I could use my super smart mind and think about all these different ways to do stuff, but God's solution is always going to be better. And sometimes you don't even have to do anything at all. You just let God take care of it, or he'll show you what to do and, you know, everything falls into place perfectly. That's being strong in the Lord. Where did I tell you to go? I was trying to divert you. Oh no, Proverbs 3, 5. Actually, yeah, does someone want to stand up and read that? Anyone boldly? LJ, go ahead. Say aloud.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
What's the next one?
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
There you go. Thank you. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, right? There's another translation that says, he'll make your path straight. And I think that's awesome. You know, our path in front of us, it might be all going all over the place, but God will make your path straight, where you can see in front of you and go straight. That's what we need. We need that straight path in front of us, because we're not much on our own. We need God to help us. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Actually, you know what? Hang on one second. So this last verse here, verse 32, kind of reminds me of that. It says, you guys are in Proverbs. I'll read it. Matthew 14, verse 32, it says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I thought that was so cool. They didn't even have to do anything. It's just when they got in the ship, God took care of it, the wind ceased, and that was it. And that's how these situations can be so many times. We have some problem, we're scared of something, or we don't know what to do. Go to God, and the wind ceased. He takes care of it, or he makes your path straight. And that's amazing. Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. So we're going to go back to looking at Peter. Acts chapter 3. So we saw, you know, Peter wasn't perfect. He was bold. That's cool. You know, he did crazy stuff all the time, and he wasn't afraid to talk even when he shouldn't. And that reminds me of some of us, too. Let's see. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And remember, this is a record. This is something that happened. It's not just a story. This guy couldn't walk since he was born. And now Peter and John come in here, and he says, silver and gold have I none, such as I have given thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And this guy, it says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, verse 8, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And let's go down to verse 12 here, and here's the cool part. You can see, you know, Peter's attitude. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why are you so surprised at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Peter was like, did you guys see this? This wasn't me. You know, he wasn't some really good doctor and went into this guy's spine or something and fixed whatever was going on. Now he could walk. No, this was Peter. He was a fisherman, but he could walk with God. And so he healed this guy. And he's saying, it's not by our own power or our holiness, because we're so perfect, that we made this guy to walk. He was strong in the Lord. And, you know, this took some manifestations, right? He needed word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Probably discerning of spirits too. It took faith, it's a miracle, and it was healing. So that's pretty good. That's being strong in the Lord. And that's this stuff, this is the same stuff that we can do. This is the same administration, the same time period that we're in now. The same rules apply. Peter wasn't a perfect guy, as we saw. He messed up often, but he was able to do amazing things being strong in the Lord. It's not me. You know, I'm weak. You guys know me. This wasn't me. It was God, and we can do the same thing. And we need to remember that, you know, even if you're the youngest person here, you can still operate manifestations perfectly like this. That's what we need to believe about ourselves. That's the truth of the word. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Does that make sense so far? Can you guys even hear me? What if you're all just staring at me and you can't hear me at all? That would be interesting. And no one said anything. Luke 5. Now we're going to look at Jesus Christ. So even if you're not the smartest person and don't know all the information about a certain field or subject, you could still walk with God and God can show you what to do. And it can work out better than someone that does really know that subject, who is an expert. And that's what happens here. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." And this is Jesus Christ. "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," that's Simon Peter, "and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" So he's saying, go out there and you're going to catch a bunch of fish. And as we all know, Jesus Christ was a master fisherman. He spent his whole life fishing. And he knew that at this moment, because of his experience, there's going to be a bunch of fish in that place. And that's why he told them to go out and go catch the fish, right? No, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. I don't know if he knew much about fishing, but even knowing a lot about fishing, you couldn't know that. Because Peter, he was a master fisherman. That was his profession. And the whole night he was fishing and he didn't catch anything. This was Jesus Christ walking with God. He said, "God, how can we bless him?" You know, this is me making up words, but this is the situation. "How can we bless him?" And God says, "Why don't you tell him to go out there and put the nets out and he'll catch a bunch of fish." So that's what he tells him. And then verse 5, "Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink." So that's pretty awesome. That's walking with God. That's something that we can do. Get information that you, by your five senses, could not possibly know anything about. That's something that you can do individually. You can do this weekend. You can do today. Ask God. Remember that we don't need to know all the information. We don't need to be perfect people first. We can still walk with God. We can still be strong in the Lord and what he accomplished for us. And we don't need to be strong in the facts, right? And Hannah talked about that. Being strong in the facts doesn't work out too well, as we saw recently with the CDC. They just changed their mind about everything. But we do want to be strong in the truth, because that will not change no matter what. No matter what new information comes up, the stuff that's tried and true in the Word will never change. The Word will never change. And God doesn't care who has the good job or who has the cool car or a lot of money and the right education, all this. All God cares about is believing. You know, that's what he needs. That's his condition. Believe. You know, and you have to be born again. I think most, if not all of us, are born again, right? And then as soon as you're born again, you have the ability. You have everything that you need. You're fully equipped to walk with God and to do awesome stuff. Go to Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. And I was thinking about this stuff, you know, with the truth. This is the truth. This isn't something that we came up with in 2022 to make people feel good about themselves and accept everyone. This is the truth of God's word. And this is what we need to change our minds to believe God's word. We really are the most powerful people because we have God, because we have the power of Christ in us. That's really what the truth is. And we need to drill that into our minds to believe that. Romans 8:37. Let's see, who wants to read this one? Romans 8:37. All right, go ahead, stand up and read loud.
"Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us."
Beautiful job, you can sit down. Thank you so much. That was great, nice arms. Right, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, right? In all these things we are more than conquerors because we're really strong and smart like Enzo, right? No, it's like in all these things, I don't mean Enzo's not smart, I didn't mean that. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him. It's not because we are, you know, so strong physically or because we're really smart. It's through him. Let's go to Philippians 4:13. I need another bold volunteer that I'll probably make fun of. Nobody? Hannah. Hannah, okay. I won't make fun of you. Philippians.
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
There you go. I can do all things because I'm really awesome. No, wait, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ. Again, it's through Christ, right? It's not that we could just do all things because we're really powerful. We can do all things through Christ because we have Christ in us. And then let's go to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. James, Peter. So many books in the Bible. 1 John 4:4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now we have the authority over the devil. Now we do. This is the truth, that now we have that authority. It doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been in the Word. Now we have the authority. So we don't need to put up with the stuff that he throws at us. We can claim what's rightfully ours, that he can't touch us, God's property. He can't touch us legally. Now we have this power. And that's what we need to remember. Every day when you wake up, you know, you can look in the mirror if you do that and be like, you're powerful because it's God and Christ in you. I don't know what your morning routine is. That's not part of mine, but it's something that you could do. And just remember that in the morning, that you're powerful. You're weak physically, but you're powerful spiritually. And we really need to see ourselves how God sees us. The natural man will always think that we are foolish. You know, it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man will always think that we're just foolish. What makes us powerful spiritually is just, oh, you believe in God and you think that makes you really powerful? That's stupid. You should learn science. That's like a good argument for a lot of things. Oh, you believe in the Bible? Well, what about these facts of science? It doesn't matter what the natural man says. What the truth of God's word says is that we have God in Christ in us, and we can be strong in that, be strong in the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10, our theme verse. And there's one more thing I want to show about this. Where is Ephesians? I'm having a hard time today. Corinthians. What was that? Oh, there it is. You see? Enzo, it's that smartness again. Ephesians 6:10. And so I'll read it in King James here, not the 2022 version. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And the Working Translation, which is another real translation, it says, "Henceforth," instead of "finally, my brethren," it says, "henceforth, be strong in the Lord." Henceforth means from this point forward, from this time on, be strong in the Lord. And that's pretty cool. And think about that from today onward, from this minute onward, be strong in the Lord. And that's a command too. It's not like, please do this, or you might want to do this. It says, henceforth, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, or in the strength of his ability. That's what we need to do. And if we all in this group here, we all committed to do that, to have that thinking, being strong in the Lord, we will see signs, miracles, and wonders. Because signs, miracles, and wonders don't follow ministries. They follow believers. And we are all believers. So when we believe, we can see signs, miracles, and wonders. And that's awesome. God is not a respecter of persons, right? He doesn't care if you're 5 years old or you're 300,000 years old. If people can get that old, I don't know. But he's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of conditions. And the condition is to believe. That's all we have to do. We don't have to go to the gym and work out so much or try to go to school for 25 years and get super smart. All we have to do is believe. Believe that it's God in Christ in you. That all the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, never to die again, that's the same power that's in you and the same power that's in me. So I think henceforth from this weekend, you know, from this day forward, believe that it's God in Christ in you. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Ask God for help, and he will help you. Believe to operate manifestations, and you will. And we don't need to be perfect. We're weak people. We might mess up and stuff. But God likes to work with weak people like us. It was his design. You know that he actually knew who you were going to be and how you were going to be? And he decided to do this whole deal anyway? He wasn't like, oh, man, I messed up. You know, these people really don't have what it takes. No, he knew. He knew you individually. Before you were born, he knew who you were going to be. And he wanted to give you power and a direct connection to him. That's pretty cool. He's an individual God, and he'll work with you. He'll help you. He'll teach you. So we can be strong in the Lord. And that's what I wanted to share.
You know, your job or your school, wherever you are, you could change the way that place is because of that, right? It's not about how your day's going or your size or brain, but the spiritual landscape of the place where you are can change according to your believing and according to operating the stuff that God's given you. So thanks, Tim. Magnificent. And it's reassuring, and it's true. You're all powerful. You all have all nine manifestations, and you could change your school. The one believer you are can change the 2,000 people in your school, right? It can get rid of darkness in that school. Wherever your job is, if you think things are heavy, you could pray. You can change the way the entire thing is because of your strength and your power, no matter what you look like or how old you are. That's fantastic. So thanks, Tim.